protection from fear. When you consider sheep, their number one enemy probably is timidity. You see, when a stranger or a predator approaches them, their heartbeat increases by 80 times a minute. They're easily panicked. They can stampede a whole crowd. And when one sheep runs, the rest of them start to bolt without stopping to see what is it that's causing them the fear. Fear is a killer. And just like sheep, you will see that the members in our local church must also be protected from fear. Now, this part of the message, we want to consider the causes and cures for fear among the local church. And the one objective lesson that we want to take away from this is so that we can show them to be focused on the Lord rather than on their fears. So we want to see what causes fear. And I want to suggest that there probably are three things that causes fear in the sheep. Those are alarms, attacks, and abuse. Alarms, attacks, and abuse. And as we go through them, I'd like you to keep in mind that these are similarly applicable to the flock in the local church. In Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters." Psalm 23, as we read, is in the words of the sheep. I'm not sure if you noticed that, but it's the voice of that sheep is confident. It is content, and it doesn't have fear. And so we want to understand what is the secret of the sheep that we can apply to the flock or the members in our care as elders. So let's look at those three parts. One is alarm. Alarm. The members are easily alarmed at a situation, a circumstance, or a strong teaching. And sometimes it becomes so important that the elders would take pertinent and timely action to diffuse such situation. I want to give an example from the church at Thessalonica. You see, we read about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. What had happened is they had panicked. It reads there, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to come from us to the effect that the day of the Lord had come." You see, the members of the Thessalonican church were alarmed. They thought they had missed the rapture. And what does Paul do? He takes time to write and explain to them from the Word of God. That, I think, is a great example for us as elders to emulate. And alarms sometimes come, they're real or they're imagined. Nevertheless, whenever there's alarm, we must understand that it is dangerous to the health of the local church. And it's always the quick action that a shepherd would be able to take, that shepherd would take, that would calm their mind. Now, as an elder, you might have had this experience, and everything seems to be going okay, and then suddenly there's a scandal, there's a mysterious death, or there's a hit and run, and it seems like the very core of that local church is shaken up. And some of these events seem to be faith-threatening or even church-splitting, like a sudden resignation of an elder or a family that leaves over a disagreement. Sometimes it's silly over an intense discussion, if you may, over the choice of the wallpaper in a nursery. But these alarms that seem so small can cause people to panic. Usually the question is not about right or wrong. It is mostly a false alarm. And we thank God for that. But it's the mandate of a good and a timely action that is on us as elders. Let's look at attacks. The sheep, they graze in open fields, and it's important that the shepherd actually positions himself in a way that he gets an unobstructed view of the flock. And from there, the shepherd is able to keep a sharp eye out for the predators, because vultures and dogs and coyotes and cougars and all know that sheep are easy prey. At nights are particularly dangerous. You see, there are instances where wild dogs on a night of frenzy attack have killed hundreds of sheep. And these dogs don't attack because of foraging needs, not because they want to eat, but they, in that natural beast of hunting and killing, they just go on a rampage. And it can happen to a local church. See, when we talk about wolves among sheep, we think about false teachers. We know in Acts chapter 20 and 29, the Ephesian elders were told by Paul that after he goes, there would be these wolves that would come in. And true, it does talk about false elders, but these wolves, they come in different shapes and size. And they could be, a Christian faith is under attack in school and universities and societies through politics and mass media and humanistic thoughts, and the list goes on. And the elders must watch for and grow the people of God so that they don't fall prey to these attacks. And then there's also the abuse. In abuse, it's a strong indictment, because this is personal. This is directed at the elders. It is sad that if the flock are abused at the hands of the shepherds, or at the hands of the church leaders or elders. We are invited to care for the sheep, not as Lord and masters, but as ones who are willing to serve. And therefore, Jesus, talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 20, and verse 25 to 28, he says, "But Jesus called to them and said, 'You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Servant leadership was modeled by Jesus Christ, and he invites us as elders to follow his example. And those who seek vainglory for themselves, Christ is showing that we are not to be lords and masters like the rulers of the Gentiles, but to be willing to serve as unto the Lord, serve the people, serve the flock as unto the Lord. It seems very awe-inspiring, doesn't it, that someone's fearful of the elders. But I don't think it's biblical. You see, we are called not to have the flock fear the elder as much as they would have this reverential fear for the Lord. And that is what we have to train and to teach the members of the local church to do, to fear the Lord with all their heart. No wonder in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 4, this is what we read Jeremiah write, and it says there, "I will set the shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord." And so we have another indictment as elders, an indictment to be role models. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Elders are first to be servant leaders, so that they would serve the local church as unto the Lord, and also they are to be a role model. Their lives need to be worth emulating. Unfortunately, there's been a history of abuse in the church by the elders, and this can become history in its truest sense only when we elders come to honor our chief shepherd and love both him and his people. Therefore, we read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out all fear. Well, that's enough for sheep talk and farming lessons. But how do we apply it to ourselves? And I think that's the important part, isn't it? What do we as elders take away from this passage? One, I think, is we need to be watchful. Watchful because we are representing God, the Good Shepherd. And as elders, therefore, we must be watchful. We read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, and note this, for they keep watch over your soul as those who will give an account. So one, we need to be watchful. And second, we need to be about the Word of God. Word of God, we got that from Paul as an example that he gave in to the church at Thessalonica. It's important that every time he's confronted or the church is confronted by an issue, Paul would always lead the local church back to the Word of God. The Word of God must become the first recourse in such situation, not the second, but the first. Elders must make the local church a place where the Word of God is the first line of defense, where it's honored. We read therefore in Acts chapter 20 and 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Providing the whole church with the whole counsel of God is the best protection against fear. That's the New Testament pattern, and that is Paul's example. And it's only then the sheep are able to say that he maketh me to lie down on green pastures. A sheep that is truly free of fear. And in last application, I just want us to notice also that timidity is not holiness. Timidity is not an expression of holiness. Sometimes we think that timid people are the holy people. And that is furthest from the truth. That's not biblical. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. So, though there may be many things that attack or alarm a sheep, the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ are called to be courageous and confident and building up ourselves in the most holy faith. The cure for timidity is trusting the Good Shepherd, and the role of the elders is to build this trust in the hearts of its members. God bless.